exposing the changing worldviews behind the issues that are fundamentally changing our nation and world. The Sharon Hughes Show starts now.
The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Joseph R. Biden Jr. of the state of Delaware has received 306 votes. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 232 votes.
There's so many people. It's just, they're going to push their way up here. Bro, I see people out there get hurt. I don't want to see you get hurt.
To those who engage in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay.
Around 3 p.m., the Army Secretary activated the entire D.C. National Guard. Eventually, Maryland and Virginia's were too. And later, federal agents from the FBI, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and the U.S. Marshals Service were deployed to finally regain control.
In order to keep the economy from collapsing this year and getting much, much worse, we should be investing significant amounts of money right now to grow the economy. So it is necessary to spend the money now. The answer is yes, it will be in the trillions of dollars.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests, oh, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
Chuck Schumer will get the authority, if he gets these two seats in the Senate, to do what they've been talking about, and that is defund the police, open our borders, illegal immigrants will be given the right to vote. They want to socialize medicine, cut our military again, just like Biden and Obama did in their administration. They want the Green New Deal, and really, they want to undo all the things we've done in the last 4 years that created the greatest economic turnaround after the 8 years of the lowest economic output in U.S. history that the Democrats gave us in Obama and Biden's term.
Hello, everyone. How are you doing? It's been quite a week, a very upsetting week. As a matter of fact, I think Americans are traumatized over what has happened. The events of this past week, the breach on our nation's capital, the violence, the shooting by Capitol Police of a young woman, a veteran, but also out of control people breaking in, being violent, breaching the offices of congressmen, whatever. I know you've heard it all. You've watched a lot of it. I have spent hours watching videos, reading accounts of everything that happened, including of those everyday, regular Americans, supporters of Donald Trump that went to Washington, D.C. for a peaceful protest about the election. 99.9% of those were just regular folks like you and I. And whether the bad apples that turn violent out of anger or out of agenda, well, it's going to take some time for all of us to get everything clear in our thinking and for all the truth to be able to come out. There is so much out there, so much being said, so many claims being made. Conspiracy theories abound. And so you don't need to hear from yet one more person what I think. The only thing I'll say is that I absolutely condemn the violence that occurred. But I also think that things could have been handled differently. That it's very possible, had Mike Pence chosen to honor the four states that wrote him letters asking him, we're talking about the state legislatures of four states, asking Mike Pence to delay the Electoral College vote count to give them time to do or finish audits that they had already started, forensic audits of the votes in their states, because these four state legislatures voted in favor of doing this because of evidence that surfaced that there was wrongdoing in their state's elections of the 2020 presidential election. But Mike Pence took a very narrow path as regards to what was within his authority of overseeing the vote of the Electoral College. And had he done that, that probably would have given hope to those who believe that there were some very real and substantial things, irregularities, if you will, that occurred in this election. I mean, there's never an excuse for violence. There's not one excuse for those that breached our nation's capital and did what they did. And of course, one of the Capitol policemen lost his life, as did four others. Some of those, we don't know all the stories behind it all, but some of them had health issues, but died at the event. And in saying that, I'm not blaming. I think we're going to need more time for everything to come out before we can confidently, if you will, point the finger at who is to blame for what happened. And not just what happened on January 6th, but what happened in the various states where proven irregularities and concerns did not get their day in court. As you know, President Trump said that there will be a smooth transition on Inauguration Day. In the meantime, Twitter has permanently banned him. Apple has threatened to ban Parler, the alternative to Twitter, from their apps, and so it goes on and on. But what I want to do on today's show, I want to just let you hear for yourself, out of the horse's mouth, if you will, of some of the reporting done of President Trump's speech on Thursday following everything that happened, as well as words right out of Joe Biden's mouth of one issue that he plans to do, and that involves the economy. And we'll get into it right after this.
You're listening to Sharon Hughes, taking you to the front lines and behind the scenes.
On the field of battle, common men do uncommon things.
They volunteer to protect our freedom.
I was ambushed in Afghanistan on my third deployment.
My truck ran over an anti-tank landmine.
We've had phone calls interrupted by mortars.
We see the physical scars, but there's spiritual scars, a lot of pain.
We've been separated twice.
He was standing on the end of the bed, screaming at me, incoming, incoming, get down, get down.
I would have a gun to my head.
I need my marriage to be saved.
Samaritan's Purse is wanting to try to save the marriages of these men and women who have served our country so valiantly.
This has given us hope.
Before we got here, our marriage was broken. It was falling apart.
It's amazing to see God take a hold of a life that has been damaged through war, and then all of a sudden come to a place where they realize they've got help that they haven't been able to find anywhere else.
It's a weekend retreat where it's focused again on marriages. We need your help. We need your support for us at Samaritan's Purse to be able to do programs like Operation Heal Our Patriots. We need people to stand by us financially to do it. It's an expensive program, but it's worth every penny investing in these men and women that have suffered so much for our freedom and for our nation.
If the 2020 viral pandemic has taught us anything, it is that we need a healthy immune system. 70 to 80% of the immune system originates in the gut. The three patented aloe vera blend in Aloe Apex is formulated for digestive health and a strong immune system.
My name is Mike. I'm from Lake Carmarit, Mississippi, and I've struggled with some digestive issues with the gut for about 4 or 5 years. And I've tried everything. A few things slightly helped, but I tried Aloe Apex, and it just worked greatly for me. I've been taking it for about a week or two, and I've had no symptoms of what I've had for the previously 4 years. So it definitely did work, and I'm ordering more. Thank you.
Changing Worldviews listeners can buy 3 Aloe Apex at the regular price and get a 4th bottle free. Call us at 833-334-5433, 833-334-5433. And be sure to mention the name Sharon, or visit us at www.aloeapex.com. Our greatest success is your good health.
Here's more with your host, Sharon Hughes.
Thanks for staying with me, everyone. I really appreciate all of our listeners. I'm so grateful that you are with us. You know, all of us are probably exhausted from viewing or listening to all the commentary and news reporting of what happened this last week, the breach on the Capitol, the Electoral College votes being counted and declared by Vice President Pence that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won. One of the things that is happening also is that those that breach the Capitol are being arrested, including a recently sworn-in West Virginia delegate, Derek Evans. He was arrested on Friday on federal charges for breaking into the U.S. Capitol. Also, the man, you saw the picture, I'm sure, who broke into Pelosi's office, had his feet on her desk, he was arrested and charged. And there are those that are calling for Ted Cruz and Senator Josh Hawley to resign because they, quote, normalized the attack on the Capitol. The Dominion software company that has been so much in the news as regards to being part of the blame for the voting irregularities, and, well, they have now sued attorney Sidney Powell for defamation because she said what she said about the company. Not only that, Pelosi talked to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs about taking nuclear codes away from President Trump. The Capitol Police Chief resigned as a result of what happened, but so did some of Trump's team, such as Ms. DeVos, who is the Education Secretary, and several others. And not only that, Trump's lawyers withdrew all of the Georgia election challenges. And as you know, Trump announced that there will be a smooth transition on Inauguration Day. Now, that's not enough for the Dems. They are calling for his impeachment. They want to impeach him 2 weeks before he goes out of office. Now, I could go on and on, but what I want to do is move into playing some of the things that I found in my own research to hear some of the reporting about the events. And we're going to start with what the Washington Post had to say as they did an overall of the events of last week. Here it is.
The Capitol Police treated this as just another regular Sunday protest outside the mall or downtown Washington, and that there were not significant reinforcements on hand. This was not any special plan other than putting up bike rack and barriers as a show of force to keep protesters away. There were numerous warnings going into that Wednesday at 2:15 when the breach occurred, many days of warnings that the president was urging his supporters to go to the Capitol.
All of us here today do not want to see our election victory stolen by emboldened radical left Democrats, which is what they're doing.
Days before a pro-Trump mob stormed the U.S. Capitol, far-right groups posted encrypted messages in online forums threatening violence and plans to smuggle guns into Washington, D.C.
This would be something the Capitol Police not only knew but was repeatedly warned about in conference calls with the mayor's office and the Metropolitan Police Department.
As the mob stormed the Capitol on January 6th, the president's supporters overran police, broke through barriers, smashed windows, and entered the halls and offices of Congress. It appeared that the U.S. Capitol Police was unable to stop them.
So this is just heartbreaking. I was planning to sit on the sofa and watch the entire, what I thought was going to be the entire circus on the floor of the House yesterday, and got quite a different show.
Ahead of the day's events, the National Guard activated 340 unarmed members to assist D.C.'s police force. Mayor Muriel Bowser specifically requested limited federal agent presence because the city and the Pentagon did not want a repeat of the mass military response to racial justice protests that Trump ordered over the summer. But the city does not protect the Capitol grounds and building. The Capitol Police does.
The U.S. Capitol Police have the day-to-day responsibility for the physical protection of the building, the members, and the staff.
There were just a few officers at some of these doors, and many of these doors and windows were not guarded. They were locked, but they weren't protected. A cluster of about a dozen people using a riot shield to break open bulletproof glass.
It's open!
Hop into the people's house and eventually get within feet of the speaker's lobby.
It's too late once everyone is in the building and they've not gone through any form of security. You don't know if they've got guns. You know they're carrying, in some cases, pipes and other things. So it's too late at that point.
After the breach of the Capitol around 2 p.m., the Capitol Police asked the Defense Department for more National Guard backup, but the Pentagon did not respond. Both Maryland and Virginia's governors detailed panic phone calls from Mayor Bowser asking them to activate their state's National Guard, something the Defense Department had refused to do at that point.
I also told them that I authorized the mobilization of the Maryland National Guard and that I was ready, willing, and able to immediately deploy them to the Capitol. However, we were repeatedly denied approval to do so.
Around 3 p.m., the Army Secretary activated the entire D.C. National Guard. Eventually, Maryland and Virginia's were too. And later, federal agents from the FBI, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and the U.S. Marshals Service were deployed to finally regain control.
But I think it's clear that there was a sort of a monumental failure, and the Capitol Police, no doubt, are trying to get their ducks in a row to explain how this could have unfolded in this way.
Okay, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, more on the events of this past week, including, I'm pretty sure you heard, you must have heard, that Michelle Obama called on social media to permanently ban Donald Trump. What do you think about that? Well, evidently Twitter agreed with her, and lots more. Stay with me.
Tired of the spin of the mainstream liberal media? Hard-hitting, provocative, changing worldviews with Sharon Hughes delivers.
Every day, nearly 4,000 unborn children are denied life and love. National Right to Life is working to change that. For more than 30 years, National Right to Life has worked through education and legislation to make sure that every child is given the opportunity to share their love, their gifts, and their talents with the world. Our work now is more critical than ever. Respect for life is being attacked on all fronts and at all stages, from the tiniest unborn child to the medically dependent and disabled to our elderly citizens. It is the support of our members, pro-life men and women from across the country, that helps to advance our cause. Join with National Right to Life and countless other pro-life men and women and make a unified stand for life. This has been a perspective on life from National Right to Life. For more information, visit our website, www.nrlc.org. That's nrlc.org.
People are really wanting to know what the future holds and wanting to know where are we in history. With all the events of 2020, many are wondering, are we in the end of the age? And so to help our listeners for this month's special, a New Year special, Books for the End Times. As a matter of fact, you can get two books for the price of one, such as Thomas Horne's The Wormwood Prophecy, talking about NASA predicting an asteroid to hit the Earth in the year 2029.
The asteroid is 100% certain to strike Earth, according to one space expert who says this is a matter of life and death.
You'd probably have millions of casualties.
Also, a book by Carl Gallup's Gods of the Final Kingdom, and many more. We will pick from our stock of books that help us understand where we are in the day in which we live. For a donation of $25, you get two books. You can send your check to Changing Worldviews, P.O. Box 995, Cedar Ridge, California, 95924, or order online at our website at changingworldviews.com on the store or donate page.
You're listening to The Sharon Hughes Show. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Just follow the links at the bottom of the page at changingworldviews.com.
As I mentioned, Michelle Obama put out there that she thinks social media should ban Donald Trump completely forever, and Twitter agreed with her. So is that good? What does that mean for free speech, number one? And number two, is that the place of a former first lady? It's one thing if we want to talk about freedom of speech as regards to whether Twitter and Facebook has a right to shut anybody down or whatever, but Michelle Obama said she wants social media to completely ban President Trump because she said he is, quote, infantile and unpatriotic. Posting her comments on social media, she also said this, quote, "Now is the time for those who voted for this president to see the reality of what they've supported and publicly and forcefully rebuke him and the actions of that mob." And now is the time for Silicon Valley companies to stop enabling this monstrous behavior and go even further than they have by permanently banning this man from their platforms and putting in place policies to prevent their technology from being used by the nation's leaders to fuel insurrection. So, is she right? Does what happened warrant her, as Dr. Michael Brown says, demand? Or is it all part of blowing this so out of proportion that we would agree that something like that could happen? You know, I want to say one other thing here. Dr. Michael Brown also wrote about saying that if he were Joe Biden and knew that he had won the election fair and square, in other words, why wouldn't Joe Biden want to do his very best to win over the tens of millions of Trump voters who believe that the election was stolen, especially if he, Joe Biden, was serious about this being a time to, quote, heal, as he said. Dr. Brown says, you know, instead I would want to be able to say to America, I know that many of you are bitterly disappointed by the results, as happens to one side every 4 years, but this is how our system works. Well, there still would be people that would disagree that the American people have spoke because they have concerns that it was not a fair election. But nevertheless, he can't do that since a cloud hangs over the election results. And, of course, you know, Senator Ted Cruz and a number of his colleagues have been calling for an emergency 10-day audit. And if Biden felt he won it fair and square, didn't have any problems, Michael Brown says, why doesn't he say, I'm all in, let's do this. I want complete transparency on with the audit. Well, that's not going to happen. And so I just kind of want to run a montage of some of the events of this week, including clips of the breach on the Capitol, and then wind up with Joe Biden says about his economic plan and Kamala Harris, what she said about the difference between equality and equity. And if you know anything about Marxism, you will recognize the language that is used. So here we go.
And there's so many people. It's just, they're going to push their way up here. Bro, I see people out there get hurt. I don't want to see you get hurt. We will make a path, dead ass. Like, we don't want... That's what I'm saying. We'll make a path, bro. Please, just let us make a path. Just let us make a path. When the whole country hates you.
I want you to go home.
Go, go.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack on the United States Capitol. Like all Americans, I am outraged by the violence, lawlessness, and mayhem. I immediately deployed the National Guard and federal law enforcement to secure the building and expel the intruders. America is and must always be a nation of law and order. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defiled the seat of American democracy. To those who engage in the acts of violence and destruction, you do not represent our country. And to those who broke the law, you will pay. We have just been through an intense election and emotions are high, but now tempers must be cooled and calm restored. We must get on with the business of America. My campaign vigorously pursued every legal avenue to contest the election results. My only goal was to ensure the integrity of the vote. In so doing, I was fighting to defend American democracy. I continue to strongly believe that we must reform our election laws to verify the identity and eligibility of all voters and to ensure faith and confidence in all future elections. Now Congress has certified the results. A new administration will be inaugurated on January 20th. My focus now turns to ensuring a smooth, orderly, and seamless transition of power. This moment calls for healing and reconciliation. 2020 has been a challenging time for our people. A menacing pandemic has upended the lives of our citizens, isolated millions in their homes, damaged our economy, and claimed countless lives. Defeating this pandemic and rebuilding the greatest economy on earth will require all of us working together. It will require a renewed emphasis on the civic values of patriotism, faith, charity, community, and family. We must revitalize the sacred bonds of love and loyalty that bind us together as one national family. To the citizens of our country, serving as your president has been the honor of my lifetime. And to all of my wonderful supporters, I know you are disappointed, but I also want you to know that our incredible journey is only just beginning. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
We're going to be proposing an entire package, and parts of that package are of equal consequence to people. Unemployment insurance, being able to continue with rent forbearance, the whole range of issues. So that's number one. We think that they all have to be dealt with. The price tag will be high. But as I said, made scant reference to in my opening comments, the overwhelming consensus among the leading economists, left, right, and center, is that in order to keep the economy from collapsing this year and getting much, much worse, we should be investing significant amounts of money right now to grow the economy. So it is necessary to spend the money now. The answer is yes, it will be in the trillions of dollars, the entire package. But it will be, I'll be here next Thursday laying out in detail how that package is going to go. But the basic story is simple, that if we don't act now, things are going to get much worse. And the third stage of this, the whole story is we're going to have to invest, as I suggested throughout the campaign, in infrastructure, in healthcare, and a whole range of things.
So there's a big difference between equality and equity. Equality suggests, oh, everyone should get the same amount. The problem with that, not everybody's starting out from the same place. So if we're all getting the same amount, but you started out back there and I started out over here, we could get the same amount, but you're still gonna be that far back behind me. It's about giving people the resources and the support they need, so that everyone can be on equal footing and then compete on equal footing. Equitable treatment means we all end up at the same place.
Kamala Harris, what she said about the difference between equality and equity, and if you know anything about Marxism, you will recognize the language that is used. Well, that about wraps it up for this time. You know, I always like to close out with a song, and this one is by Gateway Worship.
By your mercy, we are saved.
So until I see you next time, this is Sharon Hughes saying it like it is.
You've been listening to Changing Worldviews with Sharon Hughes. You can follow Sharon at facebook.com/Sharon and twitter.com/Sharon. Please take advantage of our online shows covering topics and guests we can't possibly cover on our weekly show. That's why we offer more at our website, changingworldviews.com. Join Sharon next time, and until then, stay alert, stay informed, because we live in a changing world.